Seek ye therefore first the kingdom of God and his justice, and all these things shall be added unto you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Have you ever been saved by prayer? Of course you have, far more many times than you realize or remember to give thanks for. As a matter of fact, that's what we're doing here this morning. We're being saved by prayer. On this Divine Providence Sunday, together we are seeking first the kingdom of God, this first day of the week, and his justice, and we're counting on the good Lord for the rest, the business about what we are to eat and to drink and to wear, and all of the rest. In the old days of Catholic Spain, this was early to mid-19th century, there was a civil war about who should be king. Don Carlos was the pretender to the Spanish throne, and his followers were called the Carlists. They seemed to me to be pretty much the good guys. At a certain point, they were known as the traditionalist communion, and their battle cry, four words, God, our country, subsidiarity, local rule, and the king. I don't think you could beat that. Well, they got beaten, though, in some important battle in one of the civil wars that racked the Iberian Peninsula. And one of the leaders of the army, a certain Don Zavala, was captured, and he was condemned to death by a military tribunal. He took the news very calmly. He only asked when the execution was to be, and he was told, the phrasing is interesting, you will be put to death 1/2 hour before the evening angelus. He just asked for a priest to come so he could make his confession. And when they came for him, he was ready, but they were running late. I can empathize with that. And by the time they got everything organized with the firing squad and the condemned man blindfolded and the people arranged and all the rest of it, and the commanding officer, as they do in movies, crying out, present arms. The Angelus bells started to ring from all of the church towers throughout the city. Now, Carlists or not, they were all of them good Catholics, the Spaniards back then, and instinctively they doffed their hats, fell on their knees, and crossed themselves across party lines to pray the Angelus on their knees. And imagine the devotion with which that condemned man, Don Zavala, said his prayers, knowing that in a moment he would be standing before not a military, but the divine tribunal. Or so he thought, but it was not meant to be. The prayer concluded, the soldiers put their hats back on and stood up and reached for their rifles, and all of a sudden, an emissary gallops up, waving a white flag of truce. The battle, the war, was over. A pardon had been declared. And now, all thoughts of revenge or of rancor were abandoned, quelled by that common Catholic prayer, the Angelus. The condemned man was indeed pardoned, not so much by man's mercy or chance as by the goodness, the mercy of the Mother of God. Perhaps this is the origin of the phrase, I meant to look it up, saved by the bell. In any case, Don Zavala certainly was. What is this saving prayer? Are you familiar with it? You know, when the bells ring at noon, we call it the Angelus. You're Catholic, you're familiar with it, no doubt, but probably many Catholics don't know the entire prayer by heart, nor do most of us manage to say it day in and day out, three times a day, without fail. But you should. You see, this prayer is, like the rosary, a lay prayer, a prayer for the laity in its origin. And the clergy liked it so much, they soon adopted it as well. It is a short and an abbreviated prayer that contains within it all of the central doctrines of our Catholic faith. By praying, we profess our belief. The Angelus. That's just Latin for angel, isn't it? It is an indulgence devotion recited morning, noon, and night in honor of the Incarnation, God becoming a man in the Virgin's womb at the Annunciation. There are three short versicles. First one, the angel of the Lord declared unto Mary, she conceived of the Holy Ghost, and the Hail Mary is said. And that same style of prayer is repeated two other times to make for three. Then there's another versicle in response, and the collect at the end, you know, that begins, pour forth, we beseech thee, O Lord. Although it's not necessary to say the final collect to gain an indulgence, you gain an indulgence every day for reciting your Angelus of 500 days. You should know this prayer by heart. You should have a holy card. Look it up. You could download it. You could copy it out and carry it with you. You could even program your mini or your cell phone with it, I'm sure. If you can't manage any of that, or you won't, and you don't quite know it by heart, you can still get the indulgence by saying just five Hail Marys to replace it. During Easter time, we replace it with the Regina Caeli, the Church's classic and angelic Easter hymn. We say that after the low masses, so I think people tend to know that by now, but maybe the Angelus itself should be studied some more. The Angelus is, as the soldiers did, meant to be recited kneeling on weekdays, but standing on Sunday. Sunday technically starts in the church on Saturday evening, and standing too for rejoicing all during the Easter season. But as always, when we're talking about prayer, any reverent posture will do. It's not necessary to fall on your knees. In fact, if some of you tried to fall on your knees, you'd really fall, probably flat on your face. So as long as you're praying reverently, that's what counts. How do the Angelus get started? As with the rosary, it is for the laity a shortened form of longer prayer said in church, or we say in choir, by the monks or by the clergy. In the Middle Ages, especially St. Bonaventure popularized this. He told the Franciscans, St. Anthony spoke too in favor of the Angelus, the same era, that they should preach to the people to stop and say three Hail Marys, three Ave Marias, when they heard the evening bell ring in honor of the Annunciation. Why? Tradition holds that the Annunciation occurred at night. The morning Angelus honors especially the resurrection of our Lord, because our Lord rose from the dead in the morning. And we say that prayer, may we be brought to the glory of his resurrection. The times, you know, they're given sometimes 6 a.m., noon, and 6 p.m. They're not strictly required either. Just morning, early morning, noon, and then around noon, and then evening would be sufficient. If you forget, say the prayer as soon as you remember. But I've got a suggestion or two to help you all to remember your Angelus. Now, the noon prayer is easier if you happen to be someplace where they still ring the bells at noon, and indeed blessed are you, or even if a siren goes off. Now, the noon prayer makes us to think of the Passion, our Lord's crucifixion, which started at 12 o'clock noon. In the old days, all of the churches of the world would ring the Angelus, and it's a happy Catholic sound that used to be heard throughout Catholic neighborhoods, throughout the whole world, calling everybody to stop and to pray. Indeed, one of the best known and loved popular paintings is from 19th century France, and it's called The Angelus. Did you ever see that painting? It's at the Louvre now, painted by a certain Jean-François Millet, and he painted it, he said, because he remembered his grandmother making the children stop and say, when they heard the Angelus bell, to say the prayers for the poor souls, she would say. Now, he himself, this artist, was not a Catholic, not a practicing Catholic anymore, but he painted, have you ever seen that picture? Two farmers, a man and a woman, pause in an attitude of prayer with their farming implements on the ground, and in the distance, the church and the church tower. This is so much a part of Catholic cultural background. You know, the idea of pausing, the blessed sound of bells three times a day, that some time ago, during a controversy in a certain French village as to whether or not they would continue to ring the Angelus bell, because after all, most of the French aren't really Catholic anymore. They never go to church. And many towns are filled with Mohammedans anymore, with Muslims. So there was a lively debate. And one brave French gentleman got up and he said, Monsieur, écoutez, vous sautez l'Angelus, vous sautez la France. Listen, mister, he said, if you get rid of the Angelus, you get rid of France. So much is it interwoven with the very fabric of French life, which once was Catholic. The Irish felt the same way. Since 1950, the Angelus has been on French and Irish radio, and then later on television, the ringing of the bells, the Angelus comes on the screen, and they would show pictures. Well, the picture of the Annunciation was just too Catholic for people, so they compromised. They said, well, we'll keep the bells, but we'll just have regular pictures. So from now on, you'll see a picture of a farmer or a fisherman or an immigrant, something like that. But at least the bells still call to prayer. The bells are prayer, the church. These are the things that are capable of saving us as a civilization, what is left of our Catholic world. How ironic it is, as the Angelus in cities and towns across our land falls silent, nature abhors a vacuum, remember, the airwaves give way to what? To the muezzin, to the Mohammedan call for prayer. Five times a day. I remember being shocked to read in the paper a few years ago about there was a little formerly very Polish Catholic enclave in Detroit, which was the little city of Hamtramck, Michigan. And when you walk through the streets before the changes, at noon you would hear all of the bells ringing, and again in the morning and again in the evening. Well, now the bells don't ring anymore. And if you walk down the street in that town, you will hear loudspeakers with an Arabic message that it's time for the Mohammedans to pray. This is especially ironic because the noontime Angelus has as one of its origins a call to prayer on the part of the Pope, Callistus II, against the Mohammedans who were invading Europe. This was in the year 1586. Belgrade, Serbia's capital, was besieged by Muslims, and the Pope asked everyone to pray every day at noon for its deliverance. They were successful. You should say the Angelus. You should know its prayers. You should be proud to use them and never ashamed to pray them. Furthermore, it is a lay prayer. It is a short prayer. How kind Mother Church is. She's always shortening things for us. We are like complaining children. I couldn't say that. That's too long. And so there's a long divine office, hour and a half or so, that's reduced to for the laity to less than 15 minutes, the daily rosary. There's the daily rosary, but that's too long. I couldn't possibly say that. So that's reduced to what, a minute and a half of the Angelus? Is that too long for any of us? And the Angelus actually is a shortened rosary. And like the rosary, it sums up the great doctrines of the incarnation, the redemption, and the resurrection. And that at the natural times of prayer, when Daniel of old prayed in the Old Testament, morning, noon, and night. But how are we going to remember to pray? Because we're busy, and at least one of our worries actually is, what are we going to eat and drink and wear and the rest of it? Here, you could maybe take a page out of the monk's prayer book. They sanctified themselves. They saved Europe. They converted barbarians by an orderly, we would say today, lifestyle. Work and prayer, ora et labora. The secret of the stability was that they attached prayers to the meals. For us, that's difficult, I grant you, because we tend to eat on the run. We just sort of grab something. But listen, this is what the French do. They just automatically pray the Angelus at the table together before breakfast, before lunch, and before dinner every day. You could try that. Even if your breakfast is just a cup of coffee, say the Angelus first. But then you would say, we don't sit down for meals. We're all doing different things. We're Americans after all. We don't eat together. But you still have to pray to save your soul. What could you do? I had a little radio show about this subject yesterday, and the host of the show gave what I thought was an excellent suggestion. He said, you could set the alarm function on your cell phone to buzz every day. See what time you want in the morning, noon, and then maybe 6 p.m. And regardless of where you are, there you are waiting at McDonald's or Taco Bell, and the buzzer goes off, and you just say, it's not the ideal, but it's better than nothing, and you will not forget it. Seek to be able to pray. Seek in prayer for the kingdom of God first and for his justice, and you will indeed be saved by prayer, and all these things will be added unto you. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.